I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
What's going on, Katie?
I'm currently being terrorized by 3 out of 4 of my pets because baby Gio would never, but my cats and goose definitely would. So that is my whole life right now. They are nightmares, but I love them, but they're nightmares.
It's like having children.
Worse, because they are terrible. Gabe is a sweet baby angel.
Gabe is a sweet baby angel.
And a Swiftie.
And his comeback in your latest TikTok was incredible.
Oh, bro, that's a Taylor Swift lyric. Play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. That's a Taylor Swift lyric.
Yes. The fact you were like, Gabe, what happens when people play stupid games? And it's immediately, flawlessly, they win stupid prizes. Yes, Gabe.
He knows.
Yes, they do.
He knows. Gen Alpha, terrifying. I would not fuck with these kids. I really wouldn't.
No.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm having a hard woman day today.
Hard day. Yeah.
Having a hard uterus haver day today.
Yeah, it happens.
You know what? I think that is pretty hysterical for what I'm about to talk about.
It really is.
It's on brand.
Definitely. And also, not a sponsor, but this podcast is brought to you by IUDs. The best form
for
of
one half.
Control for me. It's amazing. It stopped my period. A lot of people that I talk to who have them, it also has stopped theirs. So
yes,
consider it.
I'm jealous of everyone with an IUD. I could just go get one. Don't know why that happened. But to be honest, I'm going to suffer through. You know what? This is already going to make me so mad, but I feel like the feminine rage inside of me right now.
Let it out.
This is a good episode to talk about. I'm glad I did this research this week. I don't really have much of an update besides that, so we can really just get into it.
Yeah, let's dive in. All of my energy is dedicated towards what we're about to talk about, so I'm ready. Three Spooked Girls is a true crime and paranormal podcast where co-hosts and longtime best friends, Tara and Jessica, talk about cold cases, missing persons, ghouls, goblins, and all the things that go bump in the night.
Join the gals every Monday for a deep dive on significant true crime cases like Ted Bundy or Ed Kemper to hear the history and haunts of abandoned asylums, homes, and creepy creatures.
Then come back every other Thursday for more doses of true crime. Oh, that's so cool.
Nice. This podcast will give you the feeling that you're sitting with your closest pals while discussing important cases and creepy topics to get you in the mood for spooky season.
Find Three Spooked Girls on social media with the handle @3spookedgirls or on TikTok as @spooky_sleuth and @spookyauntjessie.
Three Spooked Girls is available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This week, we'll be talking all about the pink tax. We'll be finding out why certain toiletry and personal care items marketed for women cost more than they do for their male marketed counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
Katie's ready. I had to prepare Katie before this recording started. I was like, this is what the topic is. Be prepared to be mad. I've had to educate so many people in my life about the existence of these issues. And honestly, sometimes in talking to certain men, they don't actually believe me or believe that it could actually be true, or, you know, I'm just over conflating the situation.
I also feel like there are a lot of people who, for some reason, whatever gender, are able to like come up with these ridiculous reasons why they cost more. And it's like, you are grasping for any logic and it's not there, but you are trying so hard to explain it and it just doesn't make sense.
Also, when someone is explaining something to you that they have personal experience with based on their gender or like any other kind of identifying factor, or how the companies are marketing things towards their gender, having someone who is unaware of these things because it doesn't happen to them scoff at you or say that couldn't possibly be true, it's like a slap in the face. Baby, we are telling you with our lived experience. Believe us. For example, have you ever gone razor shopping and noticed that a razor marketed to women with the same amount of blades as the one marketed to men is more expensive? Why is that? That's where the pink tax comes in. I know, I was asking the listeners, but also asking you, Katie, but I know you know. We've talked about this before.
At this point, the answer is not anymore. I cannot fucking remember the last time I purchased a razor. So...
Same. I'm very much in hibernation mode right now.
Sometimes, yeah, my hibernation has lasted.
You're like for eons.
9 years.
Nice. Good for
you. I don't shave my legs. I don't really shave my armpits. I'm not about that life.
To be honest, it just takes up so much time and effort. And like, I have a really tiny bathroom. I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like putting in that effort.
Yeah, I just... Every so often, I'm like, huh, I kind of want to shave my legs. Sometimes I will, but I not in like 4 years.
Sometimes it's nice to feel like a little smoothness. Sometimes it's nice to pull on a pair of leggings and have it be smooth. But for the amount of effort that it takes, I don't care enough.
My leg hair is so fine at this point because I've had it for so long and it's like been worn by pants or whatever I'm wearing, that like I get that effect really just with like lotion.
Good for you.
I don't know, I'm telling you, come over to the No Shave Side, guys. It is amazing.
It's pretty fun. Also, like, less sweat in my armpits because of it. Thank you very much for my body doing its natural thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's hop off that soapbox for a second. Products that are similarly made for all people but are priced higher for women is what the pink tax is. Another example is having a similar product be packaged with more of an item in it for men than the amount that is in the package for women. Many companies and manufacturers have and will blame this price disparity on higher costs for producing women's products or services for women. The reality, though, is that there is ample evidence to prove that there are significant price differences in products that are identical. And in a lot of cases, the only difference is that the product is colored pink, hence the name pink tax. Before we like really get into the meat of what I want to talk about today, I do want to bring like a couple things up that I think need to be thought about as we go through this episode.
All right, I'm here for it.
The gender pay gap is something I want to dedicate an entire episode to, but it's worth noting in this episode that there is an interesting connection between women not making the same amount of money as their male counterparts in many industries while also having to pay a higher cost for products that are the same. And a lot of these products are necessary for personal hygiene, specifically relating to the gender pay gaps that exist between white women and women of essentially every other racial group. In 2020, the Bureau of Labor Statistics found that, quote, women who worked full-time earned just 82% of what a man earned. In other words, women made 82 cents for each dollar that a man made, end quote. According to their data, quote, Black women earned 64 cents for every dollar a white man made, while Hispanic women earned 57 cents for every dollar a white man made. Asian women were found to earn more, with multicultural Asian women earning 98 cents to a white man's dollar, and Asian women earning $1.01. I think it's worth mentioning all of these things and keeping that in mind as to how these price disparities affect all of that as we go through.
Definitely. I can see and understand how it's such an important context to have. Well, we're about to list off all of this stuff. That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing those up.
Of course. As I was doing my notes for this topic, I found an interesting quote from the U.S. Congress Joint Economic Committee from December 2016 in an article they published about the pink tax. They said, quote, examples of gender-based price disparities for goods and services have been documented throughout the economy. This phenomenon may not constitute intentional gender discrimination, yet the frequency with which female consumers find themselves paying higher prices for gender-specific goods and services effectively becomes a tax on being a woman, end quote. I find adding in the sentence of, this phenomenon may not constitute intentional gender discrimination, a very interesting way to possibly remove some of the responsibility from the manufacturers and companies who are setting these prices or giving less in a packaged item to one gender while the other gets more product in a package of the same item. Everything about that is intentional. These decisions are being made in boardrooms when discussing the make and marketing of such products. To say it's unintentional is laughable.
It goes through so many hands that it's absolutely intentional at this point. There's no way every single section of all of this stuff is thought out. There's no way that that's just ignored.
So let's talk about what some of these products are, because it's a wider variety than just razors. From a study done by the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs entitled From Cradle to Cane, The Cost of Being a Female Consumer, from December 2015.
Solid fucking title.
Right. Quote, some of the most widely cited examples include higher prices for pink razors and pastel colored pens. Even toys marketed to girls are also priced higher. For example, a pink Radio Flyer scooter was selling for double the price of the comparable red scooter on a well-known big box retailer's website.
Double.
Double.
Because it was pink. That was the only difference.
It was the only difference.
Holy shit.
So we have children's clothing, toys, games, writing implements, and personal care products, among many others, being priced higher simply because they're marketed towards women and girls. From the same New York City Department of Consumer Affairs study, quote, for example, the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs examined nearly 400 pairs of products for sale by New York City retailers and found that women's products were more than twice as likely to be priced higher than men's products. Specifically, 42% of the time, women's products had a higher price tag, whereas men's products had a higher price tag 18% of the time. The prices for women's and men's products were roughly equal 40% of the time, end quote. A 42% disparity in pricing on goods that are similar is atrocious, and to be honest, so is that 18% difference in the opposite direction. Products that are made in similar fashion for all genders need to be priced the same. It is unfair to every consumer for there to be any kind of difference in pricing, especially when said product comes from the same manufacturer. So, really doesn't matter either way to me personally, whether it's higher priced for men or women. I think it's unfair to everyone.
It's a ridiculous notion to think that a different color, unless there's some crazy shortage of pink or blue paint, that it would cost more simply for that reason, or because it is marketed towards someone who has to pee either sitting down or standing up.
In this same report noted that women's products were priced at an average of 7% higher than similar products marketed towards men. The difference in average was smallest in children's clothing, 4%, and largest for personal care items such as body wash, deodorant, and razors at 13%. In the senior care and home health category, products were priced 8% higher. That category includes items like canes, braces, support objects, and adult diapers. So you're telling me that even a diaper that holds our pee, because incontinence can be an issue for all of us at any age, the absolute gall of these manufacturers. We all shit and piss the same. There should be no difference in pricing for those products.
That is absolutely absurd.
Isn't
Can
it?
We kind of go over a little bit in more detail of some of that breakdown?
Yeah, what do you mean?
When numbers are said, I can't...
Oh, do you want me to like repeat it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Okay. That report from the New York City Division of Consumer Affairs, they're saying that on an average, these products, all those 400 products that they studied, were at an average of 7% higher than products that were similar that were marketed towards men. So that's the average overall.
Okay.
So when we go into that breakdown of like where we got that average from, the lowest difference in the average was in children's clothing, and that was at 4%. So that's the low end of the average. The high end of the average was the personal care items, like body wash, deodorant, razors, lotion, that kind of stuff. That number was 13% higher for women than men's products. So that's the highest end of the range. That's at 13%. And then kind of like in the middle is where the senior care stuff is sitting, at 8% higher for women than they are for men. So women's fucking diapers are 8% more costly than the men's diapers. But we all shit and piss the same way. Why? Why do we have that 8% higher?
Where does men's 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner fall on that line?
That falls in that 13%. It is priced 13% lower. It's a personal care item like shampoo, conditioner, lotion, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, this is such a fucking crime to humanity, but I know so few men who use lotion at all, let alone would be like purchasing it themselves. I don't think that anyone talks to men about lotion. In fact, the lotion that men are purchasing is not to moisturize.
Oh my God.
Let's all be real here. I think we can all be real about that. I cannot think of a single man other than Mike who I'm like, you have to put lotion on.
Listen.
Your skin needs lotion.
To give a few of them some credit, I have definitely seen some men on TikTok who were inspired by their partners to start using skincare and lotion and things like that.
Oh no, I'm calling out people in my IRL. If you are a man and I know you in real life, you are like, oh shit, she's talking about me right now. Yes, I am.
Oh, Katie.
Tell me right now, and we can bleep their names out. Tell me right now, which of your male friends have you seen put lotion on their fucking hands?
I'm trying so hard to think of one.
I know. And now tell me how many times you've been like, ugh, my hands are dry. And any woman around you has been like, oh my God, do you want this scent or this scent?
I literally have multiple lotions in my purse right now.
So do I. I don't have a fucking purse, but I have multiple lotions all over the place. I think
there's a lotion behind me. There's a lotion in front of me.
Right here. I've got the super retinol for my face, full body oil. Like, tell me right now, the last man was like, here's some lotion for your hands. Okay. Actually, one person, Justin, we were bakers together and our hands used to get really cat. And he told me about one lotion that he used to put on his hands when they were cutting open from being so dry.
Is it Tiger
So there Balm? You go. No, it's Burt's Bees Farmer's,
that shit
Farmer's
is good.
Hands or whatever. But again, it has like a picture of like a grizzly old man on it. And it's called Farmer's Hands.
So, and I bet it's still not as expensive as women's lotion.
No, actually, I don't even think it's classified as lotion. I think it's called like hand balm. Mm. And because of that, it actually is pretty expensive, but fucking shit, it works real well. So yeah, one dude I know in my life.
Okay.
Men who are listening to this podcast, wear more lotion. Go. Okay, we can move on.
Okay. A quote from the study. Quote, "The additional cost to senior women is particularly troubling to the fact that the typical woman aged 65 or older has significantly less income than the typical man of the same age. Women in this group face a 44% gap in income compared to similarly aged men. And they are significantly more likely to live in poverty, according to a JEC report released earlier that year, which was 2015. It's affecting people in different ways across all ages and races and genders, and it's dumb.
That was a really high number that I wasn't
prepared for.
Quite prepared
Neither was
for.
I when I first read it. I was like, what the fuck? And that's not to say that I didn't think that there would be a disparity. I'm just like shocked that it's 44%.
It builds up exponentially so much more than I realized. Like, I know that it would be so much because after a lifetime, you've had so much inequity. But like, my understanding of numbers is so flawed because I did not realize it was going to be so big. Holy shit. And people who have given children need diapers when they're older. Like, I basically need diapers if I cough too much now.
That's some real shit.
Like, shit.
And we're only in our 30s.
I'm still 31. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm 32.
No, I just turned 32, babe. You turned 32 okay. This year.
Yeah. See? Look at where I'm at because this episode's fucking me up. I forgot how old I was.
Keep going. In 2011, a study from the University of Central Florida concluded that, quote, "women pay more per ounce for certain personal care products, including deodorant," end quote. And Consumer Reports found that, quote, "in comparing common drugstore purchases, such as shaving cream, deodorant, and body wash, products targeted at women through packaging, description, or name might cost up to 50% more than similar products for men," end quote.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Really cool. If the marketing and packaging is what is driving up the cost, then let's please do away with pink packaging and just provide us with some goddamn basic packaging. I can't even tell you the amount of times that I have either just used my partner's razors because they buy a pack of like 20 for $5, or I buy the ones marketed to men because I've noticed that for my personal needs, they work better on my coarse red hair than the ones marketed to women.
I always would purchase the men's face razors because it's for their faces. They're gonna be more careful about that than they are about the shit for my legs.
Yes.
They don't care about legs or women. So they're going to focus on men's face razors. I was like, that's right. Give me that shit. And it was still cheaper. Fuck yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Dan literally gets like a pack of these basic ass like two blade razors. 20 of them for like $5. And like they look like really shitty quality, but those blades themselves are still really good. And I just take from those. Why am I going to go out and buy my own when I know they're going to be hella expensive? It's going to be like $10-15 just for one with like two little attachments in the package for it.
Yeah. My thing is I have noticed now that I'm on like a more natural deodorant with a brand I'm not going to say specifically because I want them to sponsor us.
Yes. Which is the same brand that I use because of you.
Yes. I have noticed now I forgot mine here when I went to my mom's house. Mm-hmm. I used Jim's deodorant. It made me sweat and smell more.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
I'm fully agreeing because that's that. Happened to me like in a pinch when I like misplaced mine and couldn't find it and I used Dan's. Oh my god, I was so smelly that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
So yeah, not good. Not good.
Thanks, I hate it.
Right? It's like, fuck that. In that one instance, I feel as though the cost of the one that we use is totally worth it. But I also don't feel like what we use is gendered at all.
I really don't think so. And even when they come out with like some of the holiday scents that are like candy and stuff like that, and it's like a little bit themed with the packaging because of like the type of scent that it is, that also in itself does not feel gendered at all. Like the name of the one that I have right now is Cashmere and Rain. It smells wonderful and like literally anyone could wear this scent. Like, it's so good. And the packaging, it's just definitely plain white packaging, you know? Like,
yes.
People are probably going to guess.
Oh, yeah. They definitely can, but we're still not going to say it.
Yeah.
Please sponsor us. We love you. We would make such good commercials for you. Yeah, that's literally the body wash that I have in the shower that, like, I purchase.
It's so good.
That's what everyone is using. That brand. We are using literally the gummy worms because that's Gabe's favorite.
Ooh. I'm going to smell it the next time I come over.
Oh, it smells really fucking good. It's out of control. Okay, anyway, continue with your notes.
We're going to move on from razors for a second and talk about a different kind of item. In the article from Congress, they provide side-by-side photos of the pricing of similar items from Amazon. And I wish it wasn't from Amazon, but you know what? That's a good basis to go off of because, like, literally everything is on there. So the first example is the Bic for Her retractable ball pen.
Fuck.
Medium point. Yeah, you know where I'm going with this. Medium point 1.0 millimeter black ink 2-count package. I know that's a lot of description. It's really important for you to know the description of that. Because I want you to know that these pens are fucking identical. One pen is pink, one is purple, and the packaging is yellow and purple. Those are priced at $4.97. The other item is the Bic Atlantis original retractable ball pen. So this came out before the For Her ones. The For Her ones are a fucking version of this. Retractable ball pen, medium point, 1.0 millimeter black 2-count package. The pens are black and the packaging is just yellow. The cost of them is $2.47. The only difference in these pens is that one is black and the other is pink and purple, and the packaging on one is yellow and purple instead of just yellow. The packaging is the same fucking size, though. They are the exact same pen, aside from that, those little differences, just the colors, and the For Her ones are quite literally double the price.
I remember when this happened and people started talking about how, like, People started talking about how, well, they're like, there's something about the grip that's supposed to be different. And I was like, no, it's not. And this is what I was talking about in the beginning, where it's like, no, stop jumping to these. And like, you are
don't justify it.
Fucking straws. Mm-hmm. Your little capitalistic brains, sexist capitalistic brains are like, no, 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 there's a reason, and I'm just going to pull one out of thin air. And every single fucking item that we have had, I have had a conversation with someone about, because I had to write a paper about this, about their bullshit justifications for these. And every time I've wanted to say them, but I haven't because I didn't want to give them more airspace.
I love you. Yeah. And you know what? These pictures, I'm going to put these on our social media, on Instagram, so that you can see for yourself how incredibly similar these are, except for color. An even better example that they give is the side-by-side of the exact same computer mouse, exact same model, the Microsoft Wireless Mobile Mouse 1850. One is pink, one is blue. The blue one costs $15.79. Do you want to guess what the pink one costs?
No.
$21.89.
Oh my god.
Five more dollars. $5 to $6 more for it to be just a different color. Quite literally, there is appearance and everything. They are the exact same kind, just two different colors, and the pink one costs $5 to $7 more. Now you tell me that that's not fucking intentional.
You know what this just made me think too? I wonder if in the same vein of like sexism and bullshit, this is some sort of like weird justification for like, if your son asks for the pink one, you can tell them it's too expensive. It's more expensive, so we'll just get the cheaper blue one. You know?
I mean, when we talk about having things colored differently for boys and for girls, people are like, I wonder where that started. It was only, what was it, the 50s, 60s, where marketing companies were like, we need to start marketing more towards women and girls. So they literally put these colors and associated them with different toys. I'll make it a whole episode. Because it's there.
Yeah, because pink used to be the color for boys. Because it's like vibrant and strong and like commands a room. And then the Nazis did the pink triangles. Mm. There's like we'll a whole color the whole theory.
We'll get into the whole history of that, because that is, there's like so much to that. And why these certain colors are prescribed certain ways. And now we just have like a whole society who gets so fucking offended when anyone who's masculine presenting wears pink. Like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Chill it's really out. Weird. It's just a color.
Yeah.
So not only are goods priced differently, but many services can be priced differently based upon gender. The first example of that is brought up in the Congress article is haircuts.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, right? Okay. So since I was a stylist for nearly a decade and last worked at a gender-affirming salon, I want to talk about this one for a minute. I was like, wow, I'm so glad this came up in my notes. In 2011, study done at UCF entitled The Cost of Doing Femininity, Gender Disparities in Pricing of Personal Care Products and Services, Gender Issues, Volume 28, Issue 4, pages 175 through 191, giving you all this information so that you guys can go look at it yourselves too.
Sources cited. Damn.
Written by Megan Dosteris, Liz Grarholtz, Rebecca Weichel, and Nicholas A. Guitar. They surveyed 100 hair salons, and out of those, 85 charged more for a basic women's haircut than a basic men's cut. The average price paid by women was 54% higher than the average price paid by men. So let's break this down a bit. In many of the salons that I worked in, especially when I was first starting out, we categorized services by gender. And when a men's cut would be on your schedule, it was usually a buzz, a fade, or a crew cut. But when a woman would come in for, say, a pixie cut, which for the purposes of this conversation and our listeners who may not be in that industry, a pixie cut and a crew cut are very similar in cutting techniques and length of time of service. It always irked me that while a man was being charged $20 to $30 for the same cut, a woman was being charged 60 plus. And a lot of times people would try to make justifications for that by saying, oh, well, there's drawing and styling involved, even though it's a pixie cut. So is there with men. Did you just let them walk out of your salon with wet hair? Because I don't do that. I actually use the blow dryer and a round brush to like complete my men's styles, or, you know, whoever had that type of haircut. So let's not use that as justification.
People are pretending like men's cuts are 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner.
Yes! Oh my God, that's... Wow. You know what? That's a great fucking analogy for that. Like, truly. Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, I got you.
Something that we adopted in the last salon that I worked in, and something that a lot of others are starting to adopt in the industry, are gender-neutral haircuts. Hair is an incredibly personal thing, and the act of getting your hair cut is an incredibly personal experience, and anyone of any gender can literally wear their hair however they want, because hair does not have a gender. It's just hair.
It doesn't have like a morality level or a gender or a level of work ethic, or, and like, it's your hair. That's all.
Your hair is hair. So what we started doing was we would price haircuts according to length and like timing and stuff like that. If you come in for a short cut, you were paying less for that cut than someone who had shoulder length hair or someone who had hair down to the middle of their back. Usually the longer the appointment took or the more detailed a service was what brought the price up. Even in shorter cuts, if you were a simple buzz cut, it would be less expensive. But if I were doing a highly detailed fade on you that involved like the use of a straight razor and things like that, that take a full hour to complete, you'd be paying more for that detailed work and length of time. Gender neutral pricing ensures a fair haircut experience no matter how the client identifies. And I do like truly hope that that becomes the norm across the entire industry.
The fact that it is done any other way makes no sense to me from a purely economic standpoint. And this, like I'm gonna put my little capitalism monocle on, like, why not be charging a more in the middle amount for all of your haircuts? Because over time, that's actually like, you're gonna make more money that way.
Yeah.
Come on, you're being bad capitalists. Your sexism is getting in the way.
God, I love you. So that UCF study that I talked about before also identified significant differences. This is one that I got so mad at because there's like no reason for it.
Okay.
Also identified significant differences in pricing for dry cleaning services for dress shirts. Quote, women's shirts cost on average $1.89 or 92% more than men's shirts. The study found no significant differences in the prices of laundering two-piece suits, blazers, or slacks. But the dress shirt. That's a weird one.
I'm sorry, because I know that their pits are stinkier and sweatier because their fucking deodorant sucks. So fuck that.
Somebody try to find a justification to that for me, because I see nothing. There is no reason why that should be more expensive.
Okay, here's the only justification that I can think of as someone who has never had a job that required professional wear. I've done food service, shelter work. I don't often require professional clothing. But the times that I have, the clothing that I've purchased has been quite thick, and it does not require an undershirt or undergarment of any sort. I know many dudes who are always, they're always wearing a t-shirt underneath their,
like, button downs.
Under their button downs. Okay. Men's button downs are sometimes pretty thin.
Okay.
That's the only explanation, which is why it probably doesn't apply to the blazers. But I still stand by the fact that I don't think that they, if that's the case, then it should be about thicker fabrics not necessarily all dress shirts. That makes no sense.
Because not every men's quote-unquote dress shirt is thin. There are several that are thicker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm literally just thinking about
thickness and thinness of garment.
Mike also like works the restaurant industry. Like it's been a long time since I've lived with someone who's wearing dress shirts, and I believe my father is the one I'm talking about. I believe he always wore a t-shirt
under it.
Yeah. And that's literally what I'm basing this entire thing off of.
Okay. I'll take it, but it still proves our point that it shouldn't actually be gender-based.
No, it should be based on the thickness of the fabric.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's still not an actual justification for why it's just women's being higher priced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still actually not at all.
In 1994... a study done by the state of California estimated that the pink tax on services alone were costing women roughly $1,350 over a year.
In 94.
The equivalent of that in today's money is $2,135 a year. And in an updated study from 2020 by the California Senate Committee on Judiciary and Senate Select Committee on Women, Work, and Families, quote, Californian women pay an average of about $2,381 more for the same goods and services than men per year, end quote.
I just need to take a deep breath. I feel angry burps arising.
Oh, no.
Wow. Okay. Adding that money on top of all of the unpaid labor that women are typically doing, I am ready to freak the fuck out and schedule an earlier appointment with my therapist.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
I am so angry.
I warned you.
You did. No, you totally did.
And this was me, like, reading it all for the first time when I was doing my notes. And I was just sitting at home by myself, like, getting irrationally upset. No, not even irrationally. Rationally upset.
No, this is fully rational. This is fully fucking rational.
Ugh. With that being said, I have a quote from Bankrate.com that will surely make you scoff, Katie. Quote, a 2021 national study by researchers from the University of Chicago Booth, Northwestern University Kellogg, and Cornerstone Research found that women's products were only more expensive than men's in one of six retail categories examined. The study's researchers questioned the need for legislative action against the pink tax. Yeah. Because they didn't have much more about the study on that website, I went and looked it up myself.
Thank you.
I want to read a section of it for you because we do think it's important to give all the information possible, even if we don't personally agree with it. Also, just stay with me. It's a long passage, but transparency is key. Quote, the goal of this paper is to assess the prevalence of gender-based pricing for CPG goods. We begin by evaluating existing evidence on the pink tax from Bessendorf, 2015, a New York City Department of Consumer Affairs report frequently referenced in state and national pink tax legislation, which is the one that I referenced earlier. They hand-collected prices for 122 products at three New York City drugstores and found that women's products were more expensive in six of seven personal care categories. When we compare prices of the same products but extend the analysis to include other retail formats and retail outlets across the country, we too find that average prices are higher for women's products in those same six categories. However, we hesitate to generalize these findings to the rest of the personal care market for two reasons. First, the products considered in the report account for less than 6% of category sales and were not selected at random. Second, while the sample was constructed by manually pairing men's and women's products, we find that most pairs in the sample differ in their ingredients. Keep Keep that sentence in mind. We then construct our own estimates of gender price differences for a wide array of personal care products at thousands of retail outlets across the United States from 2015 to 2018 using Nielsen RMS data. In our first set of estimates, we do not condition on product attributes. Thus, we term this difference the pink gap because it could reflect either differences in markups and or costs between the products targeted at men and women. Of the 9 categories in this comparison, unit prices for women's products are higher than those for men's products in only 4. Bar soap, body wash, deodorant, and razor blades. In 3 of the other categories, the unit prices for men's products are higher than the unit prices for women's products, and the remaining 2 categories do not have significant differences in unit prices. In other words, while average prices for men's and women's products differ, the pink gap is often negative. Price differences shrink even more when we refine the comparison to substantially similar products, which is how current and proposed legislation conceptualize the pink tax. Following the Pink Tax Repeal Act, we operationalize substantial similarity as products made by the same manufacturer that contain the same leading ingredients. Constructing such an apples-to-apples comparison is important to rule out the possibility that price differences stem from differences in quality and therefore costs across gendered products. For example, women might face the same prices as men, but their products could be lower quality and cost less to produce. In this case, equal shelf prices could mask a larger markup on women's goods. To the contrary, when we consider within manufacturer comparisons of products with similar ingredients, price differences decrease further and women's products are more expensive than men's only in one of the six categories where ingredient information is observed. Furthermore, pooling the apples to apples estimates across categories, unit prices for women's products are 5% cheaper than for men's products. Our findings imply that the Pink Tax Repeal Act is unlikely to meaningfully change average prices in personal care. We show that men and women already face similar prices for similar products, end quote. Ooh, that was a lot, but there were definitely some key things in there that I want to harp on. And the fact that I'm actually a bit disappointed that the study ends with the notion that legislation against these disparities isn't important, because no matter who the difference sways toward, any product that is coming from a specific manufacturer that has one geared toward men and one geared toward women, no matter the packaging or a slight difference in ingredients, should be priced the same. Take shaving cream, for example. In a lot of products geared for women, it comes out as a pink foam, and for men's, it's usually like blue, white, something like that. Is the difference in ingredients between the products the type of color dye that is used? The study doesn't specify what the exact differences in ingredients there are and what products the differences were in, which makes it easy for me to see the bias in their conclusions. The study is 25 pages long, and I read the whole thing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, including the section specifically labeled ingredients, and what I brought up is nowhere to be found. I looked at the whole study as incomplete now that I know that we were not actually given the data for the claims they are specifically making in the opening of the study. Obviously, I will link the study in the show notes if you'd care to look at it yourself, but when you're looking at the ingredients section, there is nothing, no graphs or anything that they have included that shows me actual ingredients, the differences between them, what the manufacturing costs are for those different ingredients, things like that. It's not in there. It feels incomplete.
I wonder if they can't publish it for like recipe privacy reasons. You know what I mean? What's that?
That is
like non-disclosure, you know, so that other companies can't break it down. But I think you're right. I feel like a lot of the cost would come down to like the scents that they're using. Like lavender is very expensive, you know, like things like that.
Things like that, and dye colors and things like that. But if we can't see that in the study, then you can't give us a conclusion at the end that is saying that, oh, we don't need this act.
Yeah.
Because we're not getting the full outlook on it. It feels deceptive.
Definitely.
It's beyond obvious to see that these disparities cross multiple industries. There is absolutely a need for legislation in these circumstances. There is a clear lack of oversight of these manufacturers who are setting these prices. Whether it be state or federal, there needs to be safeguards to keep all products priced the same from gender to gender. Before we do get into the discussion around legislation, let's talk more about why some of these price disparities are occurring. The article from Congress gives a few examples of why these price disparities may occur. Tariffs. The tariffs on some imported goods vary by whether the product is made for men or women. On average, clothing imports for women are taxed at a higher rate than clothing imports for men, 15.1% compared to 11.9%. The higher costs of importing may be passed on to consumers and contribute to the markup on some goods targeted to women. Production differentiation. One common marketing strategy firms employ is product differentiation. Sellers frequently distinguish a product or service from others to make it more attractive to a particular target market. For example, by changing the packaging and altering the color of a product, the Bic pens. However, doing so may increase the cost of production. For example, a manufacturer may choose to produce a small number of pink razors, which could increase the cost of producing each pink razor relative to the larger run of black razors. Price discrimination. The practice of charging customers different prices for the same product or service is known in economics as price discrimination. Sellers attract buyers who would otherwise not purchase their product by offering those buyers a lower price. But it can also mean higher prices for others who are willing to pay more. Some common examples of price discrimination include student or senior discounts, discounts for advanced purchases of airline tickets, and higher prices for last-minute purchases. If sellers find that women are less price-sensitive and therefore willing to pay more for a particular product or service, they are more likely to charge a higher price for a version marketed to women. Price fixing. Some markets may not be fully competitive, and competitors who would drive down inexplicably high prices for women's versions of products and services may be prevented from entering the market. As a result, firms holding a significant share of market power would be able to continue charging more for goods and services targeting women. This could indicate that there is a role for government intervention as the federal government takes an active role in maintaining competitive markets. So let's use that as our shift into the topic of legislation for the pink tax. There is no current federally enacted legislation to address the pink tax. There are some states that have adopted legislation. Since 2015, many states have brought forth legislation to ban the pink tax or ban the tax on feminine sanitary products. In many cases, though, the legislation failed to pass, oftentimes having opponents of the bill cite the lack of tax money that the states would then be receiving, which just feels greedy to me when there are so many other means of collecting taxes from residents.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's almost like you could ask rich people to pay more.
According to the website BillTrack50, where you can track all legislation across the country, quote,
dope.
Ohio was ahead of most of the states proposing failed legislation to exempt from sales and tax the sale of tampons and other feminine hygiene products associated with menstruation in 2015. In 2016, Governor Jerry Brown vetoed CA AB 1561, citing the impact exemption of sanitary napkins, tampons, and menstrual sponges and menstrual cups would have on the state's revenue, which was determined by the California Board of Equalization to be $20 million. also in 2016. Also, if that's the tax revenue that you're getting, think about the amount of money that women are actually spending on those products every year. Like, go fuck yourselves. It's way more than $20 million. Also in 2016, the Utah Hygiene Tax Act was proposed but ultimately failed. Michigan's bill failed in 2016 as well. New York was the only successful state to actually pass their legislation in 2016. The New York bill's sponsor, Assemblymember Linda B. Rosenthal, said about the tax, quote, "The tampon tax is a regressive tax on women and their bodies. New York women will now be relieved of paying a luxury tax on products that address a biological necessity," end quote. Yes, Linda. Yeah. Yes, Linda.
It's actually fucking insane to think about the things that we have no control over that we have to pay for. All genders included. I think it is such fucking bullshit, the extra money that I have to pay every year so that I can see.
Oh, yes. Also, why do I need separate insurance for my eyeballs when it's still all a part of my body? God damn it.
I mean, eyeballs and eyeballs, teeth. I think the only thing that I can think of is they were like, oh, because you're special, because it's a specialization, we can charge more and make a whole new system. Money.
Yep.
Those are good
moves. I think that's exactly what it was. Chicago became one of the first cities in the U.S. to pass a ban on tampon taxes in 2016. In D.C., four lawmakers introduced and ultimately passed a bill to exempt feminine hygiene products and diapers from the district's sales tax in 2016, but it wasn't funded by Mayor Muriel Bowser until 2019. Like, why are
people just like love to talk about how much they love babies, but they don't want to fucking help feed them or clothe them or take care of them.
Make it make sense. In 2017, Arizona proposed HB 2418, which would have exempted tampons, sanitary napkins, menstrual sponges and cups, baby formula and diapers from the state's sales tax.
It did not pass.
No, because they want to fucking make money off... That's why they don't want birth control. They want to make money off of us.
It's all connected, baby. Louisiana also proposed but did not pass a similar bill in 2017. In 2019, many states proposed this legislation. Georgia attempted to remove their 4% tax with GA HB 8, but it is still currently in their House Ways and Means Committee. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam signed SB 1715, HB 2540, after they almost unanimously passed to reduce the Virginia sales tax, 2.5% on essential personal hygiene products, including tampons, in March of 2019. Virginia attempted to pass legislation like this in 2016, but it failed. Minnesota, Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Florida have all outlawed the tampon tax. Also, you know what? I'm glad that the two states that we both live in have outlawed the tampon tax. Thank God.
It's not enough for me. I don't buy tampons. It's not. Anyway. But it's not enough.
Yeah, you know what? You don't. It's just me. It's just me over here.
Yeah.
Also, that's according okay. to Bill Track 50, a Washington bill to get rid of the tampon tax crossed over in early March of 2020. New York Governor Cuomo had... So this is coming from 2021. Just okay. want to remind everyone, because he is not our governor
Yes.
Or he's Thank not the New York governor reminder, anymore. Though,
because I was really yeah. confused. I was like, wait, what?
No, it's okay. Kathy Hochul. New York Governor Cuomo, and this is because this is all quotes I'm pulling from, has decided to tackle the pink tax according to the governor's 2020 agenda. Okay, it's coming from 2020, sorry, not 2021. When speaking about the situation and possible legislation, Cuomo said, quote, "The legislation would require certain service providers to post price lists for standard services, as well as a notice that gender-based price discrimination is prohibited under state law. Businesses that violate the law would be subjected to civil penalties. For too long, women and girls faced social and economic discrimination in all aspects of their life, but in New York, we're leading the fight for true gender equity. End quote. And I just want to, like, coming off of that quote, you know that a woman wrote that for him because that man, now knowing the history of weird mm-hmm. sexual shit.
Of the history of him.
Of him. The history of him. There's no way that this man came up with this by himself. There was definitely a woman writing that.
No, there's no way he gave a shit.
I don't think he did.
Fucking way.
A Hawaii bill proposed this year, so in 2020, would appropriate funds to the DOE to make feminine hygiene products available to students for free on public secondary school campuses, which is fucking dope. Arizona and Illinois proposed similar bills that would require schools that serve pupils sixth grade or higher to make feminine hygiene products available in all women's and gender-neutral restrooms at the school. South Carolina proposed legislation to require every state correctional facility, local detention facility, jail, prison camp, ooh, don't love that, prison camp and work camp to provide feminine hygiene products at no charge, end quote. Ooh, just,
I'm sorry. People in prison camps? The people in prison camps are paying for tampons.
Yeah, is that with the little fucking money that they get? If and you know what? Some of them probably don't have any. So, Jesus fucking Christ. Also, just the phrase prison camps really fucking threw me for a second. God.
Wow. All right. I'm ready for this episode to be done.
We're almost there. I fucking promise.
Holy shit, I'm mad.
Yeah, I told you you would be. At a national and federal level, Representative Jackie Speier from California has brought H.R. 5686, Pink Tax Repeal Act, to Congress on several occasions, the first of which was in 2016. This bill would make it illegal to charge men and women different prices for similar consumer products and services at the national level. Jackie first started her fight against these disparities back in 1995. She led the successful push in California to outlaw discriminatory pricing for haircuts, dry cleaning, car repairs, and other services based upon gender.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And now, her push for federal legislation is showing that at least some of our lawmakers have an understanding of how discriminatory these practices are and how they are negatively affecting consumers. H.R. 5686 would allow the Federal Trade Commission to enforce violations and give state attorneys general the authority to take civil action on behalf of consumers wronged by discriminatory practices. The bill was referred to by the Subcommittee on Consumer Protection and Commerce, where it died in 2019. Even Fuck. If you aren't from California, I know, right? If you're not from California, if you are, if you're not, doesn't matter. Please call, email, snail mail your opinions on this matter to Representative Speier and your own representatives of your own states and let them know that there is still interest in having this bill pushed through Congress. Other ways that you can get involved in having more state and federal legislation passed is by signing petitions. There are several that I am going to link in our link tree, but you can also find them on change.org, moveon.org, thepetitionsite.com, and actionnetwork.org. On any of those sites, just search Pink Tax and the petitions you're looking for will come up in the search. And that, awesome. My dears, is the Pink Tax.
Hell yeah. I mean, hell no, but hell yeah. Awesome episode and excellent research. Hell no. That sucks that we have to deal with that.
All of it was extremely infuriating. And obviously, y'all listeners, I have my incredible amount of sources all listed in the show notes. So please go check those out if you want to look at any of these studies yourselves. In some of them, it is the link to the article, especially the one from Congress, but they cite all of their sources, which is how I myself found the studies, by going to the bottom of the pages and clicking on the sources directly for which they were speaking of and where they pulled off all of their facts and figures from. I'm also going to post some of the pictures of the comparisons on social media. But thanks for sitting here and listening to this very infuriating topic.
Yes. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. I have my emotional support,
Dr. Pepper. Yes, your emotional support, Dr. Pepper. And my emotional support metal water bottle.
It's really important. For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.